Well, I can tell you what's going to happen in heaven. There's going to be no property taxes in heaven. I can guarantee you that. John chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. For only I, the Son of Man, have come to earth and will return to heaven again. Now then, if you want to know something about heaven, who would you want to go to find out? Somebody that's been there, right? Yeah. In other words, if you wanted to know something about an airplane, you might want to come and ask me. I know a little bit about airplanes. If you want to know something about the human body, we might go over here and ask the doctor. But don't come ask me about the human body because I don't know nothing. Now, I don't know what Brent knows about airplanes, but I know a whole lot more about doctoring than he does about airplanes. I think you do. Oh, you was a flight surgeon? Okay, so he probably knows quite a bit about airplanes too. But anyway, you want to go to somebody that's got some experience in those areas if you're going to ask questions, right? Yeah, I can tell you for sure, if I had some kind of a complicated issue that come up in my physical body, I probably wouldn't go and ask, I don't know, Kim, are you a specialist on bodies? No, okay, so then I wouldn't go ask you, that's for sure. See, I'd have to go over and say, Dr. Brett, I got a little problem here. I need you to tell me what's wrong with me so I'll know how to pray. And I would definitely go to somebody that knew. So Jesus here, he is at this point, Jesus is the only man that's ever been in heaven. He's come back from heaven to earth, and he is going to go back again, which he did. All the things he said has happened. This man knows what's going on in heaven. And he says, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so I, the Son of Man, must be lifted up on a pole. You remember that story way back there in the Old Testament, whenever they were out there in the wilderness and they were not obeying God, when they got bit by the serpents. They had to be willing to look in faith to the bronze serpent on the pole. If they did, what happened to them? They got healed. That's exactly right. They got healed. Today, do we have to look to the living Savior by faith to get healed? Absolutely. If you don't look to the living Savior by faith, you don't get healed. And what gets me is, of course, after I've spent so much time teaching God's Word to people, and then people come up and you say, now, you have to repent of every sin before I pray for you. Okay, I'm ready to be prayed for. You sure you have confessed every sin? Oh, yes, I'm sure. Okay, so I pray for you. And we start to turn around and here comes his wife. And I want to be prayed for with him. I said, oh, you're his wife, yeah. I said, okay, I didn't ask the question, but I said, sir, how are you and your wife getting along? Oh, we're doing fine. I look at her and I said, ma'am, how are you and your husband getting along? She said, oh. I said, well, we got a problem here. You know, there's something wrong. He's not good to me. I mean, you know, he has abused me. You hear some of the most awesome stories about people that are in church. I said, sir, you told me you had every sin repented of. I said, you're not loving your wife like Christ loved the church. Well, no, I can't because, you know, I just can't do that. I said, and that's why you're sick. You can't get healed until you obey God's word. You must love your wife like Christ loved the church if you want to get well. But, you know, so when they come to me and ask me these things and they think they're okay and I pray for them, and another thing people do, I have all men and women do this all the time. I pray for you. You've got every sin repented of. You've got your sin of unbelief confessed and everything. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so I pray for you in faith. Now then, is it done? Yes, it's done. Okay, praise God. So I said, how are you going to stand on God's word? Well, I said, no problem. I got an appointment with the doctor for surgery next Thursday. You know, so I'm going to go in, and if it's still there, I'm going to let the doctor operate on me. If it's not, then I'll know Jesus healed me. And when they go there, it's always still there. Because God is a faith God, and he tells us if we don't believe when we pray, he said, if you don't believe that I can do what I promised, he said, I will not do anything for you. So then you're going to have to depend upon a good doctor because you better have a good Christian doctor, you know, because, man, if you don't have, you're in trouble. Isn't that amazing? And then verse 15 and 16, so that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. Now, that really means what it says. You have to believe in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, or you're not born again. So, and there's so many people that have walked down an aisle in a church, or like that little boy, young boy I led to Jesus out there the other day, if that really was real, and he did that by faith, then that boy is going to become a different man because he's going to become a new creature in Christ. The Holy Spirit will begin to lead him to the Word of God, will begin to lead him to the right church. He will begin to listen to God's Word, and slowly but surely, he will be developed into a great man of God. Now then, if he turns his back on God and goes the other direction, and the Holy Spirit's prompting him, telling him, you know, you need to go to church, you need to do this, and all, and if he totally turns his back on God and goes the other way, one of two things, either he never believed, or he's just going to be in a backslidden state. And if he is a believer and he's in a backslidden state, if God cannot get his attention, I can assure you that boy is, or man or woman, either one, is going to go through some of the most devastating times in their life. There will be awesome things happen. And what God is doing, he's trying to bring you to him. You know, I mean, let's face it. If you got a health in your body and you got a nice car it's paid for, and you got a beautiful home and it's paid for, and you got a nice wife and she's pretty and she's paid for, you have bought her with a great price. You've paid for her, and you're, in other words, you're continuing to pay for her. You buy her a nice car, you know, and you got the money to do that, and she meets every need you have because she loves you with all your heart. If everything's going your way, and if you have children and they're all healthy, who needs God? Is that the way we think? That's the way we think. I mean, I don't need God. So I'll go do what I want to do. And so if you get away from God and you're not putting God first, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, everything's not going good. All of a sudden, your wife's not, she's not submitting to you anymore. You know, you think, what happened to my wife? Well, I'll tell you what, you were not putting God first, so God's doing what he can to put that between you and her, because you were perfect with her before, and now then she's not there. In other words, just think what happened to King David. King David, everything was going perfect for him. He had a big, nice house. He had a whole bunch of wives in that house, and he was just happy as he could be, and his army was fighting the battles for him, and everything was going great in the kingdom. And then one day when he's at home, they're doing nothing, kind of lounging around. He's out on a rooftop late in the evening, and he happens to look down across there, and there's a beautiful woman taking a shower. And he looks at her and says, wow, look at that gorgeous woman. Wow. Sent one of his servants, said, go get her and tell her to come to my bedroom. Now then, she came because he was the king. And he had sex with that girl that night. Now, if he wanted to have sex, if you got a wife, it's okay to have sex with your wife. You know, that's what God gave your wife to you for. One of the things, she is to never withhold herself from you, the Scripture says, and you're never to withhold yourself from her. But instead of doing what God said, David wanted another woman. And so he slept with her, and she got pregnant. And then he killed one of his soldiers and several of his other soldiers because he wanted to cover up what he'd done. Well, was God happy with David? No, not the least. So God spoke a curse upon David. Now then, his children that were all happy and healthy, everything was going good in their family. God says, the sword will never leave your house. Your children will rape each other and your children will kill each other. Who spoke that over David? God did. So who caused that to happen? God did. Because God didn't like what David did. And then because he says, what you did in secret with Bathsheba, you brought her to your bedroom, and you lay with her that night. You had sex with that girl, and she was another man's wife, and you impregnated her. Now, because you impregnated her, and I didn't like what you done, that child was born. He said, I will strike that child with sickness, and that child died in 1 week. Who did all that? And then he didn't stop there, did he? He said, because you did that in secret, now I'm going to do openly. I'm going to have your wives raped on the street corners in public. For everybody to see what you did in private, I will have done publicly for everybody to see. You know, if we read these kind of stories, that ought to drive every one of us, especially those of us that are Christians, that ought to drive us to put God first in everything we do. Shouldn't it not? Because if you love him and serve him and put him first, what will he do for you? Anything you ask. Is that an awesome statement? If we're born again, like this scripture is talking about, when we get saved, if we put God first and obey his commandments, then he says, you can come and ask me. He's talking to you, my little darling. He said, you can come and ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. And he's big enough to make it come to pass, isn't he? Now, which side of that fence do you want to live on? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Who is that for? That's for anybody that'll accept it. And that's why every one of us are here today. Almost everybody in this room, I feel assured, is a believer in Jesus Christ. Even the young children that we have here, I believe all of those that I know are already believers in Jesus. Verse 17 and 18. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. If there is no judgment and there is no judgment awaiting those who trust him, but those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Now then, if we really believe in Jesus and we put him first, we obey him. And as we obey him and walk in obedience to his word, how much judgment will there be on you and me, Bill? None, not a bit. The blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't have no fear. If we walk in obedience to his word after we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we walk in obedience to his word, there is therefore no condemnation to them that walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because if you walk after the flesh, I mean, you're going to be judged, all right. As long as David, back in the old days under the old law, as long as he was walking in obedience to God's word, was God blessing him and his family? Oh, my goodness, yeah, he was just blessing. But when David stepped over into the flesh, it cost everybody, didn't it? Everybody, including the first little son. It cost him his life. He died at 1 week. You know, when people say, God would never kill a child, I don't know what book you're reading, but you're not reading the same one I'm reading. Because who killed that little child? God did, you know. He is the author of death. I don't care what anybody tells you. When people tell you that God doesn't do those kind of things, I don't know. I don't know what book you're reading. I love the part, though, when he says, I will bless your socks off if you obey me. Don't you like that? We all want to hear that he'll bless our socks off, but we don't want to hear that we have to obey and do what he says to be able to be blessed.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled No Property Taxes in Heaven, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.